entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Welcome back to AYNE. Are you not entertained? This is Louis Mercedes, your host. Rest in peace, Bruno Sammartino, one of the greatest pro wrestlers of all time. The absolute embodiment of what an icon is in this business. Sad to see him go, and his memory and legacy will live on forever. Keyote Howard will join me as we talk about pro wrestling and the WWE superstar shakeup that's been going on post-WrestleMania. We give our thoughts on whether the shakeup was a success, who benefited from the shakeup more, Raw or SmackDown, some upcoming feuds. We shed some light on the greatest Royal Rumble event coming up this Friday on the WWE Network from Saudi Arabia. That event has a really stacked card, and I'm surprised that there's such a huge lineup, and there's a pay-per-view a week later. It's kind of a short turnaround, but in any case, we'll get into that a little later on in the episode. We'll also get into some last predictions for Avengers Infinity War. We're just a couple of days away. I'm super psyched. Read those first positive reactions, and I couldn't be more excited. So without further ado, Keyote Howard and I on some wrestling talk, Marvel talk, movie talk, all that good stuff.
It's that time again.
Mr. Howard, what's up, man?
What's going on, brother? What's going on?
Man, quite an eventful week it's been in the world of pro wrestling. We've been so knee-deep in this Marvel retrospect stuff that we've kind of neglected wrestling after WrestleMania.
We did, man. We neglected our baby, man. We neglected.
Yeah, I know. Pro wrestling is my baby first.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I want to give a rest in peace shout-out to Bruno Sammartino.
My God.
Now, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Bruno Sammartino, we obviously didn't grow up during that era because that's like 60s, 70s, you know, and we weren't there around that time to see him perform live in Madison Square Garden and have all those legendary matches against all those guys of yesteryear like Bob Backlund and whatnot.
Right. But
we have to pay homage because Bruno Sammartino is really the epitome or the embodiment of what an icon in this business is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like
he's the absolute standard bearer for a big attraction,
mm-hmm.
a main event draw, someone who you can associate as world champion, you know, all those sorts of things. So, you know, It's very sad to see somebody like that passing, especially how he affected so many pro wrestling fans 40, 50 years ago.
Absolutely. I mean, the guy was a living legend, man. I mean, you hit the nail on the head with the whole he was the main attraction. He was the guy that everyone came out to see. I mean, he sold out the Garden like 170 times or some weird number like that.
Yeah.
You know, he was the main event, you know what I'm saying? And he was that guy before there was a Hulk Hogan, before there was a John Cena, before yep. there was an Undertaker, you know, before there was a Shawn Michaels, like he was the guy. And he held that title for like how many years, Lewis? Like he held the world championship for like 3 years or 4 years. I don't even know the number.
Try like seven or eight.
Seven or eight. Jeez, okay. Yeah, so my number
it was a long time. I think it ranks as the longest. Actually it does. It's the longest WWE World Championship title run ever.
I mean, look at that. I mean, the man did some great, great stuff for the business. And he's going to be missed, man. I mean, I was shocked. You know, Bruno Sammartino, man.
Yeah, and it seemed like it was just yesterday when he was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah, it's seems like it was just yesterday. I mean, he went in Booker T's class. So,
Yeah, in 2013. I was there for that WrestleMania. Not for that Hall of Fame ceremony specifically, but for that WrestleMania. That was like a really stacked class because you had Bruno Sammartino, Booker T, Mick Foley, Trish Stratus, our current president of the United States, Donald Trump. So fucking weird.
Yeah.
Very odd to think that Donald Trump was inducted into the Hall of Fame just 5 years ago.
Exactly. Exactly. But I mean, yeah, man, it hurts the wrestling and sports entertainment community losing an icon like that. That's like losing the equivalent of like, you know, Marlon Brando in the film industry. You know what I'm saying? Like how they felt losing him. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a big hit, but you know, WWE did their thing and, you know, remembering him and paying homage to him all show. So it was beautiful to see, man. It was a good.
Yeah, it really was. And you know what's funny is that every time somebody real old school, like someone in their late 40s, early to mid 50s, would talk to me about wrestling and be like, oh, yeah, I used to love wrestling back in the days of Captain Lou Albano and Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah. Yep.
Bruno Sammartino is one of the names that just instantly comes up.
He was always one of the names, man. Always. If you talk to like an old head back in the day, it was Lou Albano. It might have been Classy Freddie Blassie as well.
Yeah.
And then you always get the Bruno. You always get the Bruno.
Yeah, for real, man.
Yep.
Yeah, but anyway, rest in peace to Bruno Sammartino. He would definitely be missed.
Absolutely, man.
So let's talk about what's been happening post WrestleMania. We've had quite an eventful week with this superstar shakeup.
Yeah. Yeah. Big things, now, man. Big things.
Before we get into the implications of the superstar shakeup, I just quickly read the official everybody that was transferred over from SmackDown to Raw and Raw to SmackDown.
All right, perfect.
So check this. There were 19 superstars that came over from SmackDown to Raw. You had Jinder Mahal, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre. Oh, actually, he was an NXT call-up, but Drew McIntyre.
Right.
Natalya, Baron Corbin, Bobby Roode, Chad Gable, the Riot Squad. So all three of them, Ruby Riot, Sarah Logan, and what's the other one's name?
Liv Morgan.
I think it's Liv Morgan.
Yeah, Liv Morgan.
Yeah. Okay. So Mojo Rawley, Zack Ryder, Breezango, The Ascension, Mike Kanellis, and that's about it. But when you talk about other notable debuts, you have Ember Moon, No Way Jose, and returning Bobby Lashley.
Right. Yep.
So pretty decent for Raw. Nothing earth shattering.
Yeah.
That was pretty decent. To me, the winner of this superstar shakeup was hands down SmackDown. I mean, they just got loaded with an influx of talent. So the guys that moved over from either Raw or NXT to SmackDown were The Miz, Samoa Joe, Asuka, Jeff Hardy, The Bar, as in Cesaro and Sheamus, Andrade Cien Almas, and he's bringing my boo Zelina Vega with him. Karen will hate that on the playback. Anyway, Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, which makes sense because Paige is now the new GM for SmackDown. Sanity, all three of them, Eric Young, Killian Dane, and Alexander Wolf.
Love it.
Nikki Cross is left out of the equation, which is really stupid.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. So, you know, you got that little club reunion with AJ Styles.
Right.
Big Cass, Sin Cara. I cannot believe he's still even employed.
I can't even believe he's still there, man. If you can't believe
ridiculous. R-Truth.
R-Truth.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. R-Truth is once again on SmackDown.
Wow. R-Truth, man.
Yep. And then the Iconics obviously got called up from NXT before the
I
Superstar
absolutely
Shakeup.
love them. Love them.
Yeah, Peyton Royce and
Solid.
God, I forget the other one's name.
Peyton Royce and
Billy Kay.
Billy
there
Kay.
You go.
Billy Kay.
Yeah, Billy Kay. Yeah, yeah. They fine tuned their act to the point where they're actually very entertaining.
Yeah. Yep.
So my whole thing with this Superstar Shakeup, right? Let me start with Raw. So Jinder Mahal, when he got transferred over and brought over to Raw, he seemingly brought the U.S. title with him, but they made him drop the U.S. title that same night to Jeff Hardy, yeah, which I have no problem with, because I love Jeff Hardy, and I think it's a good look for him to still be relevant in his late 30s, going on 40. Because, you know, he's obviously still popular. He's obviously still over with the crowd.
Right.
And, you know, it keeps him in the spotlight, which is nice. But, you see, if they were going to do that and have the title change, I get it. They wanted the shock factor, the shock value. But why didn't they just have Jinder Mahal hold off? Why didn't they hold off on the title change until the next pay-per-view? That was my whole thing.
I see what you mean. Or maybe do it at the greatest Royal Rumble ever or whatever, you know? Like, why did they do it there? I mean,
yeah, yeah. I mean, we'll get into the greatest Royal Rumble in a bit, but that was my whole thing. I felt like it was just too sudden. And, you know, I don't like Jinder Mahal per se.
Ah, come on, man.
You know how I feel about Jinder Mahal. No, don't get me wrong. I think he's a good heel act. I just can't stand him in the ring. He does nothing for me. His matches do nothing for me at all.
Listen, I totally get it. He's not the greatest in-ring technician. I mean, we're not talking Bret the Hitman Hart, you know, type of wrestling here. Where Jinder has definitely, though, stepped up his game as far as adding a couple of moves to his arsenal that he does really well, like the flying knee. He does this, like, this inverted, not inverted, but this weird, awkward-looking super kick sort of thing. I don't know, man. Listen, I love Jinder. I love the look. He's a great heel act, like you said. I'm so on his side right now. The music, the entrance. I've always liked him, man. I've always liked him. Always liked him.
He generates good heat now.
Really,
and it's not
good,
like,
heat.
It's not like go away kind of heat. It's like you want to see him get his ass kicked kind of heat.
That's what
which
it is. Yeah. Which is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is
yeah,
good.
Yeah, and you know, I don't like Jinder Mahal, but I do think that he would have been a nice United States champion.
Right.
That's why I felt like they should have just taken that title run and ran with it, especially giving him that WrestleMania moment. So it was kind of baffling to me. But the biggest, the even bigger surprise was Jeff Hardy bringing the U.S. title back over to SmackDown. Because yeah. I wasn't expecting that. I thought he was going to drop the title right back to Jinder. And then they were going to bring Seth Rollins and the IC title over to SmackDown. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Ah, okay, okay.
Yes, yeah, so I was disappointed in that regard. I felt like, well, in hindsight, since they moved so many damn people over to SmackDown, I get why they didn't move guys like Finn Balor or Seth Rollins, but I was expecting more sensible transitions. Or transfers as far as the Superstar Shakeup. Like, the Usos have done everything they could possibly do on SmackDown.
Right.
So it would have made more sense to move them over to Raw. It would have made more sense to move Seth Rollins over to SmackDown or even Finn Balor. You know, like those kinds of questions just linger in my mind. Like, why didn't they do that? I think Samoa Joe moving to SmackDown was a good move.
That's a very good move. I think Samoa is gonna. I think Samoa. Listen, SmackDown, for you know, has always been considered what they call the second show, the B show, whatnot. They always get the second rate, you know, hand me downs as far as talent is concerned.
Yeah.
But I think you know, I think they did well in this, man. I still think Raw is stacked, as far as main event talent, but I think SmackDown has the better entertaining show as far as the talent's concerned. Like, I think they got better entertainers. I absolutely love McIntyre. The dude is oh, man, he's great. He looks great.
I understand McIntyre 8 years ago. Oh, but man. He's on fire now. Like, ever since he came back to NXT, he's just been great, man. He looks beastly, man.
He's huge, out of his mind. I love the entrance music. His arsenal of moves have changed. He looks more fluid and more comfortable.
McIntyre's
great.
Yeah, McIntyre to me is great. I mean, the guy is on his game, man. He looks so much more comfortable being in the ring and talking on the mic and orchestrating the match. Like, he looks fantastic. And I'm so happy for him, man.
He looks like he's primed for a main event run on the main roster.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, like, I see the pairing with Dolph Ziggler is pretty good. You know, I don't have any complaints about it. And yeah. If anything, it's just a stepping stone for him because you can't throw him in the main event immediately.
Right.
So they'll keep them together as a tag team. They'll possibly win the tag team titles at some point. And then, you know what? It's not even a long shot to say that come SummerSlam or maybe even Survivor Series, he'll be challenging for the Universal title.
Wow, you know what? SummerSlam? Where are we? Yeah, I mean, why not? Throw him in at SummerSlam and maybe Survivor Series, like you said. SummerSlam, maybe so.
He looks the part, man. Like, I mean, keep him as a heel. I don't like Drew McIntyre as a babyface.
Right.
I mean, he played a decent babyface on NXT, but I like him much better as a heel.
No, he's much better as a heel.
He can play that monster heel. It would just be a lot more convincing.
Right. I totally agree. He needs to stay heel. He needs someone like Ziggler by his side, which I love the pairing, by the way. I totally agree that they could possibly get the tag team titles. But you gotta shoot him up to main event status, especially if he gets hot or even hotter than what he is now, as far as, you know, just crowd reaction. You gotta shoot him up to the title. You have to.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre is
solid.
Yeah, he's solid, and I feel like at first I thought they were gonna put him on SmackDown. He just seemed like more like a SmackDown guy. But you know what? I think Raw is perfect for him.
Yeah,
I you know what? I prefer him over Bobby Lashley any day.
Listen, Luke, you know my thoughts on Lashley already, man. Lashley, let's just talk about Lashley for a second, man. Lashley.
He sucked.
He's so terrible, man. I can't get behind him. He's boring. He's just whack to me, man.
He's whack.
Never liked him. Never. He's got no personality. He's terrible. His voice doesn't match his body. It's just weird hearing him on the mic. Like, it's just so bad. And then when he's in the ring, you think he's going to really hurt somebody with the shit he be doing. Like, he just looks
And people got the nerve to shit on Roman Reigns. Like, at least Roman Reigns has – he's a little more compelling in the ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't – I've never invested in a Bobby Lashley match.
Nope.
Unless it's like, I guess, like a John Cena or somebody like that, maybe. But – like, he just doesn't do it for me, man.
Not at all, man. I'm not interested in Lashley at all. But I have a feeling, man. I have a feeling they're going to rocket Lashley to the top and try to give him a title run. I don't know why. I got this sinking feeling, man.
I'm fine with him being Intercontinental Champion, but I don't know, man. Like,
he cannot be World Champion. He cannot be.
I have a feeling. Yo, Vince likes the big guys, so
Vince loves this guy, man. Loves him.
I know. I have a feeling that he'll actually give Lashley the Universal title at some point.
That would be terrible. That would be terrible.
Because I'm like, you know what? That would be BS. Because if he can't give it to Braun Strowman and he gives it to Bobby Lashley before Braun Strowman, I'd be pissed, man.
Yeah, Yep. And if I was Strowman, I'd be pissed too. Yeah, absolutely. Strowman, at least he's interesting to watch in the ring. He can bring out a couple of moves that you wouldn't expect him to do, like drop kicks and all that stuff.
Yeah, Strowman is great.
Strowman is really talented, man, and he's got the crowd behind him. He's super over. And to give Lashley the title before Strowman? Like, what? That just doesn't make sense to me.
Nah, that doesn't make sense to me.
No, can't do that.
No way, Jose. Well,
No way, Jose. Lewis, what do you think of No Way Jose, man?
You know what? Here's the thing. When I first saw him in NXT, I felt very prideful because he's Dominican, and so am I. Right. So,
yeah, man.
Man, Anchor didn't give me a break at all.
No, they didn't.
Jesus, was that even 5 minutes? God.
Not tonight. Yeah, that was even 5 minutes.
But yeah, so No Way Jose, straight from Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. So you know, it makes me a little hype. You know, first Dominican star on the main roster, or at least in WWE.
Yeah,
I just don't like the gimmick. I like the Menengue music and all that stuff. That's cool, but I don't like the gimmick because it's too Santino-esque. Where you know he's not primed for prime time,
right?
Like, he got over in NXT, but that's because it's small crowds and it was something different apart from everybody else in NXT. But this guy is just going to get buried and flounder on the Raw roster. Like, you know, historically, gimmicks like that are just comedy acts. Like, they're not taken serious. They're going to serve as utility guys in the long run, and they're going to be victims in the squash matches eventually, and then he'll eventually get released.
Damn. I mean, since you put it that way, Lewis, I that is the formula, essentially, for what you just said, but I have a little more faith in No Way Jose. I think from watching most of his matches, both in NXT and the last, I guess his first one he had on Raw, the guy can move in the ring. He's decent. He's not bad.
He's not terrible, no.
But the gimmick gives you the thought of him, like you said, just being a guy that gets squashed. He's a utility guy. He's a guy you throw out there, and the big bad newcomer like a Bobby Lashley or whoever or a Drew McIntyre destroys him. And then he keeps doing the same old thing each week. And then, like you said before, he gets released. I mean, that looks like the game plan. Because, you know, on the Raw roster, there's no guy like that. And you need a guy like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Who the fans like, who the fans are behind, who you think can do something in the ring, but he's just used as a jobber or a crash test dummy for the new guy that's coming in. So it's, unfortunately, it looks like that the path is going to go that way, but I'm thinking maybe they may let him have a little run and see what happens, because the guy can move in the ring. He's not bad, yeah. But the gimmick is rough, and it's not promising for him. It's not promising.
Well, okay. Santino is kind of a bad comparison because Santino actually had a very good run before he became a jobber. So, you know, Santino is like kind of an anomaly, I guess. Let's look at Fandango. Fandango, they did nothing with him. Absolutely nothing. And he had the same kind of gimmick. That's dancing, the song was really over. They did nothing with him. I don't even think he won any titles.
No, I don't think so either. No.
Yeah, and so, you know, No Way Jose might end up in this down the same exact path.
But now, I mean, look at Fandango. I mean, Fandango is still sort of over. funny as hell. It looks like they gave them the green light to be whatever they do, whatever they want to do, as far as, you know, comedy sketches are concerned.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But are they looked at as the tag team version of what No Way Jose could possibly be, as far as the guys who are over, but they're just used as utility guys? Like, is that a possibility?
That's a strong possibility, actually. But you know what? Time will tell. You know, who knows? Maybe he might polish his mic skills and add a little bit more edginess to his character. Who knows?
Yeah.
So,
that's a possibility.
Yeah, you know, on the sidebar, what the hell was up with Bobby Roode losing in his Raw debut?
Yeah, man. Lewis, let me tell you this right now, man. And I think you might have mentioned this in one of our other conversations. I'm not feeling good about what's going to happen to Bobby Roode. I think he's going to be similar to what the No Way Jose may be.
Oh,
very, man. Very, very gimmicky. They kind of just hold him at one note, like mid-card level. Maybe even the opening act kind of thing. And he just kind of stays there. I don't see a title run. Unless he goes after the Intercontinental.
I'll put money. Yeah, I could see him as Intercontinental champion for sure.
Yeah.
A mid-card title for sure. But as far as a main event title, I put money on this. Samoa Joe will be WWE champion before Bobby Roode.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree.
Unless Bobby Roode like just becomes a monster heel. Like, I don't even know why Bobby Roode is still a babyface at this point. You know, when the work that he was doing in NXT was great because he was that cocky heel.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so Bobby Roode, the work that he was doing in NXT, it complemented his gimmick because he was a cocky heel. And that's exactly what they need to do with him on the main roster. I don't think they've realized it yet, but that's the trajectory that he should be on. He should be a heel.
Yes. I totally agree. Make him heel. I don't know, man. I love Bobby Roode. I love the gimmick. I love everything about it. I think he's great in the ring. I mean, he could hold up his own.
Of course.
I just have a feeling, the company, man. You know how they do. It's just going to be one of those things where it's not going to translate that long. Like, how much longer are you going to think you're going to have the crowd just doing what you're doing now? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
at some
true.
Point, he's going to have to go. He's going to have to go heel, you know?
Yeah, and then that opens up the possibilities, because if you turn him heel, he can feud with Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
You know, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
Even Braun Strowman to a certain degree.
Yeah, I mean. It's, very important for him to, at some point, they're going to have to reevaluate what they're going to do with him, because I just don't want him to get lost in the shuffle, man. It's Bobby Roode. The guy is so good. And he's got the perfect setup. You gotta let him and Seth Rollins would be a really good storyline, you know?
Yeah, that would be. You know what else I forgot? I forgot that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are on Raw now. So
yeah,
I'm not sure what they plan on doing with them, but Raw is flooded with heels now.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Now that I'm thinking about it. Because Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, they seem to be going with the trajectory of, once again, that they're beefing with the authority figure, which is going to get really redundant. I would rather just see Kevin Owens back as a singles guy, and the same thing for Sami Zayn.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I mean, Sami Zayn is – I think this is helping Sami Zayn. I think that might be the main reason why they're still doing this, is because – Sammy at one point was sort of just floating, man. He was just kind of there, People still liked him. People still sung along with the song, his entrance music, but they weren't really doing much with him. And I think putting him with Kevin, who was so over and still is so over, allows people to see who Sammy can also be as far as that, you know, that asshole heel, you know, that annoying, you know, jerk that's dancing, that Leo, you know, that kind of guy. Like, you want to hate him so bad. And I think what this is probably simply doing is probably setting up Sammy more than Kevin, because Kevin really doesn't need it. He's really good on his own. But I think Sammy might needed a push. And I think that's, you know, they might run with this for a little while until they feel like Sammy's there, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Speaking of jerks, how awesome is heel Nakamura?
Yep. Blew it.
What a difference a couple of weeks makes, right?
Yo.
He went from being stale as shit to being like the hottest thing in all of WWE at the moment.
Oh, man, Lewis. It brings me so much joy to see Ohio Nakamura. I wanted this so bad because I thought he would be a badass heel. You know, all the weird movements and the weird dancing and the gyrating and, oh my God, dude, the stiff low blows where he just keeps the arm there. Yo.
But he keeps the arm there. That is classic.
With his face just looking so awkward and weird and like,
I know, like the gyrating
type of thing.
And when he gets interviewed, no speak English.
Love it. God, I love it. I love it.
I love it too, man.
It's the best thing for him. It's the best thing the roster could get. It's the best thing SmackDown could have done. This was the one move out of the whole WrestleMania weekend shakeup, or whatever you want to call it, that was like 100% spot on. They had to go heel Nakamura. It makes his storyline so much more intriguing. You could do so much more with him. I don't know if you saw tonight, but they changed his whole entire entrance. I don't know if you saw it.
I only saw the opening segment of SmackDown. I didn't get to follow up on the rest.
Yeah, they changed his music. And
what?
The music is still the same, but it's got like a rockier edge to it.
Ah.
And his whole like production screen, like the whole setup is different, how he comes out. It's so much cooler. It's so much badass heel. I love it, man. You got to take a look when you get a chance.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely check that out because that sounds very intriguing.
Yeah, it's so much better, man. So much better.
I know they beat who did they beat in the main event? Was it AJ Styles in the club?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. AJ Styles in the club. Yeah.
So
much good.
Yeah,
do you like it? Are you satisfied with what they're doing with him, or well, that they turned him heel?
Oh, I'm beyond satisfied. Like, I could not be enjoying this more. I laugh every time he's cutting a promo. Well, a promo, quote unquote. But I mean, I'm just really having a blast watching him these last couple of weeks as a heel, and then like, AJ Styles is the perfect babyface for him because AJ Styles, everyone loves.
Right.
So it's like that's a natural good guy versus bad guy rivalry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's classic. Oh, yeah.
You know, and then SmackDown is just so fucking stacked moving forward, man, because
it is
that tag team division with Sheamus and Cesaro, the New Day, the Bludgeon Brothers, the Usos, Sanity. Freaking the women's division now with Carmella cashing in and Asuka being called up. Yep. And
now, Luz, like I said, man, I think SmackDown.
Oh, the Miz is back.
Yeah, the Miz is back. Yeah. I think SmackDown just has the better entertainment value. They have the better entertainers. They have the better, I guess I don't want to call it gimmicky, more wrestlers, but they have the better, just overall eclectic lineup of superstars, where Raw has your heavy hitters. They have more of the heavyweights. They're very heel heavy. But they have your main eventers. That's the only thing. So, I mean, you know, I think both shows did well.
Pretty stacked now. This is reminding me a lot of 15 years ago in 2003 when the roster was so stacked that you could go to either Raw or SmackDown and you were entertained every week because, like, Raw was stacked, yeah. SmackDown was stacked. I loved SmackDown back in 03, 02, 03, and, like, early 04 because they put on a better show than Raw they on did. Most occasions.
Yep, they did.
Because you know, you're talking.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, it reminds me not quite, not obviously not, you know, totally of 2003, but, you know, sort of reminiscent where you can flip to Raw or SmackDown, you have a loaded roster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because like I had mentioned before I got cut off, I was saying how, you know, when you had your SmackDown, your Cruiserweights are relevant and all that good stuff. Even on Raw, you had Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, Booker T, Kane, RVD, you know, the list goes on and on and on. So, you know, it's not as much star power today, but you have enough.
Yeah, you know? You have enough. You could work with this. You know, I'm so happy, you know, that, you know, Ember Moon is up. I think it's about time she came up. Carmella.
Andrade and Almas on SmackDown. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I wonder what they're going to do with him, man. Like, who they're going to put him with, who, you know, where the story's going to go. I'm very curious.
I'm calling him right now. He's going to take the U.S. title off of Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy will have a couple of title defenses here and there, but they're going to put him in a big program. I'm calling it right now. Almas will be in a program with Jeff Hardy because that's the shit that makes the most sense.
I love it.
As far as like mid-card feuds right now, you know, he'll obviously start by feuding with somebody else. But I think the bigger plan is for him to eventually win the United States title because Andrade Cien Almas, I guess he's kind of like the Eddie Guerrero / Alberto Del Rio of this era.
Yep, I get it. Just more talented than Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto Del Rio.
Right.
You know, I digress a little bit, but Alberto Del Rio to me was never really all that. I liked Alberto Del Rio when he first came in because, you know, I liked his bravado and his swag. And his in-ring, he can work, don't get me wrong, but I felt like he wasn't the best storyteller in the ring. Like, if he had a match with Dolph Ziggler, then the matches would be great. You know, like, it was all contingent on who he was in the ring with. You know, because his matches with CM Punk were also really good. But for the most part, he kind of bored me, man.
Listen, man, I totally get where you're coming from. I was a big Del Rio fan in the beginning and in the middle of his runs, but not the last run. You know, he's just one of those guys that just never lived up to the hype of his potential.
Yeah.
I think he probably let a lot of people down as far as what they thought he was going to be. His matches just weren't, you know, like, he had a few good spots here and there, but you said it perfectly. His matches didn't do anything for the story. He couldn't tell a story through his matches, and that's what it was. But I loved I loved the gimmick. I loved the whole, you know, Mexican aristocrat type of thing. I loved it.
It was like Rick Martel, Gino Hernandez, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just unfortunate because you're right. He just didn't quite live up to all of that. You know, he made it to the top and then he didn't stay there long. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you would watch his matches and there was nothing that kind of compelled you to want more or tell me more through this story and stuff like that. He's just, you know, it was just unfortunate. I was a big Del Rio guy, you know, back in the day in his beginning and his middle of his runs.
Yeah, like 2010, 2011-ish.
Yeah. And, you know, I was also a really big Del Rio guy watching those Page videos. I mean, I had to give it to him. The directing was impeccable. I mean, it's just really some of the angles were perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't even think he was the cameraman.
That's another question that needs to be answered. Like, what were you doing? Like, what?
You know what's funny? I noticed that on SmackDown last week, when she had that segment with Shane McMahon backstage.
Yes,
they had. I think WWE loves to drop these subtle hints of her tainted past and give these innuendos, because if Shane gives her this look like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost as if WWE likes Paige so much that they're not afraid to drop these implicit hints that she had a sex video.
Right.
Despite the fact that the product is PG.
Yeah, right.
She showed mad cleavage.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that's WWE or if that's her. I have no idea. I mean, they're really being daring with how she looks in some cases. So, you know, listen, I'm with it. Just, I mean, I just don't, you know what I don't want to happen, man? I just don't want Paige, because Paige was, I loved Paige. I thought she was great in the ring. I thought she was a really good force on the mic. I just don't want her to get sucked into this GM role or manager role and kind of just we all kind of forget of what she did. It almost kind of ruins her in a way. I just hope it doesn't end up like that. I don't think it will. I think it's going to be that Daniel Bryan thing where, you know, she's away for about a year and a half or so, and she comes back miraculously. Doctors have cleared her. She's all good. I'm hoping that's what the case is. But we shall see, man. We shall see.
Wow. Speaking of Daniel Bryan, you know what I just realized? The potential for amazing matches on SmackDown because they didn't move Daniel Bryan back to Raw. So now Daniel Bryan can have, obviously the first program is, you know, going to be with Kaz and then the Miz eventually, but Daniel Bryan facing guys like Nakamura, AJ Styles,
yeah,
Andrade, Cien Almas, they can tear the house down. Like, there's lots of potential there, man, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can do so much. And, you know, it's going to be fun to watch because Daniel doesn't look like he lost a step at all. So, putting him in a match with AJ, Nakamura, whoever else you want to do, like, throw in there. It's, you know, Daniel looks like he didn't miss a day. So,
yeah, that match that they had a couple of weeks ago against AJ Styles, that was just like a mouth-watering appetizer.
Yeah. Yep.
That was really fucking good. And, you know, obviously, like, the Nakamura interfered and they ended in a no contest. But, you know, for that 10 to 12 minutes, whatever it was, like, that was really, really good.
Really good. Really good. They're going to do some great work together.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yep.
Now, let's get into Greatest Royal Rumble. I'm excited for this event just because of the card is so loaded.
Me too, man. Yeah.
Holy shit. They really went all out with this Saudi Arabia event. Let me read the matches on the card.
Yeah.
So we have, let's see. So it's announced tonight, or I think it was last night. Oh, actually, it was tonight. So you'll have Cedric Alexander versus Kalisto for the Cruiserweight Championship, which, you know,
he's okay. Okay.
We got Rusev versus Undertaker in a casket match.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. You got the Bludgeon Brothers versus the Usos for the SmackDown Tag Team titles.
I love it.
Yeah, I love that, too. Yeah, because it's just them, those two teams tearing the house down like they used to back in the day.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy against Cesaro and Sheamus for the vacant Raw Tag Team titles.
Very interesting. Okay. All right.
Jeff Hardy versus Jinder Mahal for the United States Championship.
Love it.
Let's see. Ah, this match should be really good. Seth Rollins, The Miz, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe in a ladder match, a fatal four-way ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship.
Absolutely love it. That's solid.
Yeah, that's going to be dope.
Yeah.
You got John Cena versus Triple H. You know, a nice Legends throwback type of match.
All right. I'm not mad at it. Not mad at it.
Yeah, not mad at all. They've had good matches before in the
Yeah.
past. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the WWE Championship.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean
I have good expectations for this match for the simple fact that they don't have that pressure of it having to steal the show because it's WrestleMania.
yes, which is good.
Yeah, and it's in front of the audience too.
And now that Nakamura is now fully heel, and we all know, and his persona has changed, I think his style may change, and I think it's going to be a lot more entertaining than what we saw at Mania. So I am excited for this one.
Yeah, for sure. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns in a steel cage match for the Universal Championship.
You know, I'm not mad at that one. I even though I can't stand either one of them, I just want to see a train wreck, and why not do it in Saudi Arabia? You know what I'm saying? Like, why not put those two animals in a cage and just let them tear it down? The Saudis may love that. Who knows?
Yeah.
The king may clap, and who knows? He may love that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And then the main event, the 50-man Royal Rumble match.
They're doing a 50 man.
Yeah, you didn't know that? That's why the event is called the greatest Royal Rumble. It's a 50-man Royal Rumble.
50 men. I don't know why I assumed it was 40, but they did that already. So yeah, wow.
Yeah, it'll feature the likes of Daniel Bryan, Braun Strowman, and a whole bunch of other people that threw their names in the hat.
So are they considering this like a pay-per-view, or is this like a okay, but I guess my question is, do you think any major titles will change hands?
That's what's been on my mind the last couple of days because they're really hyping this event up as if were a major pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't call an event the greatest Royal Rumble. For nothing, and you got Undertaker on the card. You got Triple H on the card. Oh, Chris Jericho's even in the Royal Rumble match.
Jericho?
Yeah. So this is
Wow.
what I'm saying. Like, this is a huge event, and I'm just mad that it's taking place on a Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm also upset at the fact that Backlash is next Sunday.
Oh,
So
wow.
they're not even giving the following pay-per-view all that much breathing room.
Wow. That's
Are concerned.
to me, that's a little bit, that's bad booking. I
It
mean,
is bad booking. It is.
you can't do this stacked ass paper, well, stacked ass show, Greatest Royal Rumble, then you, I mean, you what how much time do you really have to push storylines unless you're just going to rehash WrestleMania matches? I mean, which is essentially what they're sort of doing at the Greatest Royal Rumble. So I don't know, they're just adding a couple pieces. Are there any Divas matches or women's matches? Sorry to call it Divas.
Women are still not allowed to perform in Saudi Arabia at a sporting event.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and they just lifted the ban of women not being able to attend sporting events in Saudi Arabia, but under the condition that they attend with their spouses or their fathers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a very old school, I guess, I don't know, male dominated way of thinking.
So the women are allowed to travel there, the superstars, the WWE
Oh, yeah, I mean,
superstars.
they can travel there if they want to, just for the sightseeing and vacation purposes, but they can't compete in the ring.
They can't compete. Wow.
So much for Women's Revolution, right?
Yeah, man. Because in Dubai, the women were finally allowed to wrestle.
Yeah.
But in Saudi Arabia, they ain't having that. They're like, nah, son, sorry.
Nah, yeah. You guys had your first Royal Rumble, first Elimination Chamber match.
Yeah.
You women did this, that, and the third, first Hell in a Cell, but nah.
You just can't do that here. You just can't do that here.
Man, how fucked up is that?
That's so messed up, man. Damn.
Man, wow. Poor Charlotte and company. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that would have been, dude, that I think that arena is ginormous, number one. I think it holds.
Yeah, houses like 60,000 people or some shit like that. It's like WrestleMania caliber.
Yeah, it's incredible. Incredible. So to not be able to perform there, that's a bit of a slap in the face, you know?
It is. It's a huge slap in the face. Because look at all the milestones that these female wrestlers have accomplished the last 3-4 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? Vince is going to be Vince. WWE is going to be WWE. They wanted to have this huge event and be the first of – have it be the first of its kind in Saudi Arabia. That's all it really was. Not that they've never done shows in Saudi Arabia, but a stacked card like this in a Royal Rumble match, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? As well as a ladder match and a cage match and a casket match, like they're essentially building this up as a mini WrestleMania.
Yeah,
and they wanted to be the first ones to do it, and that's going to be very challenging for them because this is the first time that they're airing on the WWE Network and pay per view on an untested market. I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It should be interesting. I'm going to try and catch most of it Friday night, but yeah, it's Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday afternoon, 12 p.m., because I think by then it'll be what? I think it's like Saturday night their time. So
yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be – I'm actually looking forward to this. I'm very curious on a couple things, gender's response. Will the crowd go crazy for him?
Yeah, the Middle East thing and
exactly. Will Undertaker and Rusev Day make any sense in the ring? And who will people even care? That sort of thing. You know, like I'm just wondering how the crowd's going to take to it because this is a country that's very, you know, conservative with their beliefs, so they're not going to. I'm not looking for them to be like a Brooklyn crowd. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
I'm not looking for that. I think it's going to be very quiet as they wrestle as a sign of respect. Like, I think it's
yes, like in Japan.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think it's going to be this over the top crowd is hyped kind of thing. You know?
No, I don't think so. And I appreciate audiences like that because they pop where it matters.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's why I love watching those New Japan matches because the crowd is just really silent.
Yeah.
Throughout the majority of the match, but when those spots really matter, you hear the gasps in the crowd. You hear the oh.
Yep.
Oh, and then the clapping, and you know it's a sign of respect. It's not a raucous crowd like here in North America. It's absolutely a different kind of crowd because they view it as a sport.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's essentially what you'll get. Now, rumor has it that Brock Lesnar would be dropping the title to Roman Reigns at this Greatest Royal Rumble event because it's not in front of a raucous crowd. It's in front of
a partisan crowd.
Yeah. So it's basically an unbiased crowd.
Yeah.
That's going to look at the match objectively. They're going to look at Brock Lesnar as the heel and Roman Reigns, you know, idealistically, but Roman Reigns as the babyface. So if Roman Reigns does go over, Roman Reigns will get the pop that Vince has been wanting and blah, 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 blah. So it wouldn't shock me if Roman Reigns won the title, honestly.
Yeah, that's it. And then what would he challenge for it again in Backlash? No, because he's facing Samoa Joe.
Oh yeah, that's right. That match is
Roman Reigns is facing Samoa Joe at Backlash. How do you do that? How do you work that?
I don't know. And the thing of, that's funny about Brock Lesnar's status now with the company is, I read online the other day that apparently he's on a per diem basis, where it's like, you know, he's on a pay by appearance basis, basically. Like, it's not really a contractual relationship anymore. It's more like, you know, you agree to these dates and we'll pay you for these dates. Okay. But, like, you're not really obligated to pay for them. Like, he's just showing up for the paycheck by appearance now. I think it's kind of like when you go on a month-to-month agreement with your landlord for your when your lease is up, and then you decide to go on a month-to-month kind of thing.
I see. Yeah. I see. That makes sense. I mean, hey, man, tell you the truth, I'm getting a little tired of Brock.
I love Brock, but you know what? I'm getting tired of him myself.
You know, like, I'm just, I don't know what else you do with him. I'm tired of the Roman and Brock thing. I mean, you know, I just don't, he's not interesting to me anymore. He's not this attraction anymore like he was in the beginning of all this, you know?
Yeah, we the same exact thing that we discussed on our post WrestleMania episode, where his allure has waned, his attraction status has waned. It's not, yeah. It's really not there anymore. Like, it's Brock Lesnar just shows up and, you know, he gets the pop, and it's still interesting to see him, but it's really more or less the same thing every single time.
Yep.
There's nothing different, and quite frankly, it's really not that intriguing after the music hits. Like, once he gets into the ring, you know you're getting the same formula.
Yep. Nothing intriguing anymore. So,
yeah, the same round of German suplexes and, you know, the same stiff elbows. Nothing crazy. And then he'll win with, like, one anticlimactic F5.
Yeah.
And you know, it sucks, but I you know what? I think he's just – he's just overstayed his welcome as a special attraction. Like, there's nothing left for him to do.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Like, he's taking down Strowman. He's taking down Joe. He's taking down this guy. He's taking down that guy. Like, who else is there left for him?
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you put it against Bobby Lashley. What a wrestling clinic that would be.
Left for him.
What's that?
That would be the only thing left for him. Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley or Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, or Drew McIntyre. Yeah, you're right. I mean, but then again, they haven't put him in the ring with Nakamura. Mm-hmm. Or Daniel Bryan, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you can sit there and be like, well, Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan wouldn't make sense because Daniel Bryan is just so much smaller, blah, blah, blah. But you can tell a good David versus Goliath story with that.
You can. I do like the Nakamura Lesnar. I do like that too.
Yeah, and that's somewhat believable, because even though there's a size difference, like, you can tell the story that Nakamura could take him out with his legs, and there's ways around it. You know, like, it's not like they've never done big man versus shorter man. Look at Shawn Michaels versus Vader from 1996 for the WWE Championship.
Yep.
Obviously on paper, or even if you eliminate kayfabe, Vader would fucking crush Shawn Michaels. Like, it's not even a question. Yeah. But it's all a matter of psychology and in-ring storytelling. It's how you tell the story. Shawn Michaels and Vader made it believable that Shawn Michaels can beat Vader.
Yep.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like they've never done it before.
Yeah, that's true. So we shall see with this, man. See how this goes. Now, Lewis, how do you feel about the format change of the pay-per-views now? They're now co-branded.
I like it, and I'm going to tell you why. I couldn't stand having to watch a pay-per-view like every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks and lackluster pay-per-views at that. You know, the Raw pay-per-views were okay, but the SmackDown pay-per-views just weren't really that good because – the roster wasn't really that stacked.
Right.
I think now, if you had the separate branded pay-per-views, A SmackDown pay-per-view would be fucking amazing just based off their current roster right now.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They could definitely carry a SmackDown pay-per-view. And even Raw could pretty much carry their own pay-per-view now. But now that it's co-branded, you know, I like it, you know, because it goes back to what I like and what I'm used to, which is one pay-per-view every 4 weeks, one every 5 weeks, or, you know, once a month. That's all you really need once a month. You don't need fucking two, three pay-per-views every month. That's overkill.
Totally agree.
My
Now,
life is busy, man. Like, personally, it's just too much for me to keep up with. I do keep up with it, but it gets annoying where I'm like, oh shit, man, this pay-per-view's on. Well, then wasn't there a pay-per-view like 2 weeks ago? You know, like that sort of thing. Like, I like breathing room because it just makes it the storytelling benefits, the anticipation for the matches increases. It just breathing room is the best.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. I think now, does this mean they can like Roman, who is on Raw, can battle someone who's on SmackDown?
No, I don't think so. I think it's more like the way it was back in the day where you'll have four Raw matches and four SmackDown matches, you know?
Okay, but now I
That kind
guess the exception is this Roman versus Samoa Joe match.
of. Well, the way that works is has like it's worked in the past when they've done it, which is the full extent of the draft slash superstar shakeup won't take place until after the pay-per-view. So after Backlash is when you'll really see the full extent of everybody being exclusive to their own brand.
I see.
Yeah, that's how they've done it in the past, and you know that makes sense.
Okay, that makes
So let's just say hypothetically Samoa Joe becomes Intercontinental Champion at Greatest Royal Rumble, then his match against Roman Reigns will be for the IC title. And if he wins, then hypothetically SmackDown will have both mid-card titles.
Got
Yeah,
it. Okay.
one of those things.
Okay. That makes sense. That
Yeah,
makes
I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I like it. Again, it's and you know what? They actually changed the pay-per-view lineup for the year. So it's Backlash for May, Money in the Bank for June, as it always has been. But now you have Extreme Rules in July. Then
Oh.
after SummerSlam in September, I believe it's TLC. If it's not TLC, then it's Hell in a Cell. But I know that they've done some switching around. So like I think it's Hell in a Cell in September, then TLC in October, then Survivor Series obviously November, then the last pay-per-view I believe is what's usually last, but Clash of Champions.
Okay.
If they keep that lineup like that. But
Yeah.
yes, yeah, they switched it around a little bit.
Listen, man, I like it. I think it's necessary because the rosters are just getting bigger. And you're right. At one point, the SmackDown pay-per-views were a little bland. So why not mix it up? Put both sides in there. I love the move. I thought everything they did as far as the shakeups and the moves was really solid for the most part.
Yeah, I thought it was solid overall. I gotta say, like at first I was disappointed when I watched Raw and it happened, but then when I watched SmackDown the following night, I'm like, oh, okay. All right. So yeah, it makes sense. The moves make sense. With the exception of the Usos not moving to Raw or Daniel Bryan not moving to Raw or Seth Rollins not moving to SmackDown, everything else still, you know, it makes sense.
I definitely would have loved to see the Usos in on Raw.
Yeah, that would have been dope. But then again, if you put the Usos on Raw, it's like you would have had to have kept Cesaro and Sheamus on Raw because who else would the Usos feud with? Because Raw's tag team division kind of sucks right now.
That's true.
Like SmackDown literally has all the good tag teams that you need for good tag team wrestling. You got Harper and Rowan, you got the New Day, you got the Usos, you now have Sanity that got called up. Now you have Sheamus and Cesaro. You got Gallows and Anderson back, you know, so
Bludgeon Brothers.
yeah, you know what I'm saying? So they got too many people. Like, who do you have on Raw? You have this makeshift team of Woken Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. Who else? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even name a tag. Oh, who? Breezango? I guess Dolph's.
The Ascension.
Oh, come on. The Ascension. The Ascension. Breezango.
Arn Anderson's getting back the horse.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so Breezango, tag team of the year, potentially for 2018.
Possibly, man.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Yeah, that pretty much wraps up the wrestling talk. But before we wrap up the entire episode, I wanted to touch on a little bit of movie talk. So the Venom, did you see the Venom trailer, the second trailer?
I did.
Okay. What are your thoughts on Venom?
I'm a little hyped for this film. Maybe I might be a little bit too hyped, but I think I like the trailers, man. I mean, I like the trailer. I like Tom Hardy. Maybe that's why I'm getting a little hyped about it. Is that because?
Oh yeah, I love Tom Hardy
because it's him. I feel like they're gonna do well with this film. It looks violent. It looks dark. I think it's everything Venom is supposed to be. So maybe I'm a little hyped. But my friends pointed out, my boys pointed out that it's Sony. And Sony always jacks up these type of movies.
Oh yeah,
and you know, don't get too hyped about it because this may not be as good as it looks. But I'm on the other hand, I think that this will be better than what it looks. So that's my thought.
You know, I'm really not excited. I thought the trailer was decent. I thought Venom. Like when the symbiote actually envelops him and he turns into Venom, I thought that looked really fucking cool.
Right.
I think that the CGI for that looks great, but not really all that interested. And I think a lot of it stems from the fact that, look, I love Venom only when he's in tandem with Spider-Man. Like I would never go out of my way to read a Venom comic book. Or a Carnage comic book for that matter. Like Venom and Carnage for me, they gotta be opposed to Spider-Man. Like that's just me personally. Like I need to have Eddie Brock feuding with Peter Parker. Not Eddie Brock as anti-hero. It just doesn't do it much for me. I know that the comic book fans, you know, it may work for them. I think Tom Hardy is great. Well, Tom Hardy, first of all, he's like one of my top five favorite actors currently. There's something weird about him in this trailer that didn't rub me the right way. It didn't really do much for me. You know, I know you got Riz Ahmed playing the antagonist, who I like. He was great in The Night Of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever saw that miniseries.
Oh yeah, definitely saw it.
Yeah. So, I just got annoyed when they kept on referring to the symbiote as the symbiote. Like, really? The symbiote? They were doing experiments on the symbiote, and the symbiote is supposed to be the next step in evolution. Like, just call it the symbiote. Like, why do you have to fucking make the symbiote? Really? Who says that?
No one says that. That's the point.
I mean, look, I'm nitpicking and shit, but
listen,
I don't know, man. I don't think I even asked Karen. Like she saw some of the trailer, like bits and pieces, but even she's not really all that excited. We love Tom Hardy, but she's really, you know, I'm just very ambivalent towards it. And then like again, Sony doesn't have the greatest track record.
No,
with these Spider-Man properties, you know, with the exception of the first two Sam Raimi films. But they really dropped the ball with Spider-Man 3 and the reboots. So I'm really not going to get my hopes up. I'm not all that excited. Am I somewhat intrigued? Of course. Am I going to see it? Of course. But I would not be surprised if this shit got like ended up getting like a 40 to 50-something percent of Rotten Tomatoes.
Damn. That would be tough.
I'm telling you. It strikes me as one of those movies. One of those movies where like the anticipation is pretty high, for obvious reasons, but it's going to disappoint. I just have that feeling like it's going to disappoint. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong too, man. But I see what you mean. Like, what, you can't have Venom without Spider-Man. The rumor is that Holland will show up in this film somewhere. That's the rumor. The rumor is that Tom Holland, who plays Spider-Man, is supposed to show up in this film somewhere.
Oh, you see, I didn't hear that. Yeah. I heard that there might be like some sort of cameo, or like a little reference to Spider-Man, like in a newspaper or something like that. But that's interesting if Tom Holland makes an appearance.
This is not a Marvel Studios film.
No.
This is all Sony.
This is all Sony because Sony, this is part of Sony's original plan anyway, to branch out and extend the Spider-Man universe. Because remember when they were trying to do the plant seeds for the Sinister Six movie?
Yes.
Yeah. So when that fell apart because the Amazing Spider-Man movies didn't gross as much as they thought, then that's when they were like, you know what? We'll just start from scratch and let's just focus on Venom. Now, a Spider-Man cameo wouldn't even make sense because Eddie Brock is all the way in San Francisco.
Right. Right.
So I would love to know how Peter Parker ends up in San Francisco just randomly. Especially considering all the shit that's going to go down with Infinity War.
That's true.
You know,
I just hope it's not that. I just hope it's not bad, man. I'm looking for something in the 60s and above. As far as ratings are concerned, 60s and above, anything below 60, that's a problem. That's a problem. I'm hoping we're wrong. I'm hoping it's better than I thought. But you're right. A Venom film without Spider-Man. I mean, do we really care about the anti sort of hero in Venom? Like, do we really care about that much? Who knows? The trailers, they're not given much. I don't know. I think they're trying to keep the allure and the suspense of the film. And maybe that's what's throwing people off from thinking that this will be an actual good movie to watch.
Yeah.
But it's still Tom Hardy, man. It's Bane. And I love my boy. So I got
yeah, it's Bane. It's Mad Max.
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah, I'm gonna rock with him and think that this movie will turn out to be watchable, at least.
But if anybody is gonna play Eddie Brock, Tom Hardy's perfect casting, really.
I love it.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I don't think I'm gonna go out of my way to watch it in the movie theater. Yeah. But you know, I am interested to see the final product, of course. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, it's a Marvel movie, and you know, I like Marvel. So
yeah.
What would be nice is if they somehow planted the seeds for Carnage to show up at some point, but you know, that might be asking for a lot.
That may be you may be asking for too much, man. Let's get past this Venom film first and see what happens.
Yeah, because for all we know, this shit might not even be a big hit.
Yeah, man, it might not even. The studio may be like, nah, the hell with this. We're not even gonna touch Carnage. Forget that.
You know what sucks? The agreement that Sony has with Marvel Studios is it's a joint partnership with the We're talking about Spider-Man now. It's a joint partnership with the Spider-Man character, and it's only for I think 3 movies, no more than 4. So you had Spider-Man Homecoming. They have the animated movie that's coming out later this year in December. The one where Miles Morales is Spider-Man. That one looks good.
Yes, it does.
And then you obviously have the sequel to Homecoming. And then I think they're done with that partnership after that.
Really?
I think so, unless they are signed for one more movie. But I think the partnership was only supposed to be for 3 or 4 films.
Oh, okay.
His Spider-Man's inclusion into Infinity War and Captain America: Civil War and all that stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean,
it was good. I guess.
I'm thinking. Spider-Man is like he's probably my second favorite superhero. So I wanna say that I'm gonna walk in there confident that they'll do something with this that won't disappoint the fans. I mean, God, you don't want another DC movie on your hands. So I mean, let's try to do something with this. But we'll see, man. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah, I love Spider-Man, not as much as I did when I was younger.
Yeah.
And that's because like they've ruined the movies so much.
Yeah.
Over the years, but Spider-Man Homecoming was like that film was pretty much reminding me of why I love Spider-Man to begin with.
Exactly.
You
one
know,
of my, one of my top that's in my top movies of in the MCU universe, man.
Top. Yeah, movie. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Now, I love X-Men, right? I've always loved X-Men. And it's crazy how Dark Phoenix was supposed to drop this November. That shit got pushed back to February. I don't know if you read about that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they did some reshoots. So a lot of things are going on with Fox right now and their Marvel properties. I guess it's because they're trying to roll out as much as they can before the Disney acquisition becomes official. So X-Men Dark Phoenix got pushed back to next Valentine's Day. And there's a number of reasons for that, you know, because based off the success of Black Panther and Deadpool, it's not a very crowded time to release an X-Men movie or any movie for that matter. So it gives it a lot of breathing room to make a lot of money.
Okay.
So that's one reason. And then apparently they wanted to do some reshoots for like more footage or something like that. I don't know, but it was something along those lines. But you know that Dark Phoenix is going to be solid if they got James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, and Jennifer Lawrence to reprise their roles after they were only signed for three movies. They were only signed for that X-Men First Class, Days of Future Past, and Apocalypse, that trilogy. They had no intentions of returning, but Simon Kinberg, who was making his directorial debut with this, somehow said, you know what, you guys got to come back.
Damn. Well, then this should be decent. I mean, you got them reprising their roles and coming back? That's a possibility. I mean, the film has to be watchable, at least.
Yeah, no, and this is the first time that the X-Men universe is finally exploring the cosmic side of things with the Phoenix and, you know, so I'm excited. You know, I naturally get excited about X-Men, but I'm very interested. I can't wait to see some teaser footage, which should be coming out in the next few months.
Oh, nice.
Then on the other side of things, you have the New Mutants movie. That shit was supposed to come out this month. And I remember 3 months ago, they did some reshoots and so many reshoots that they pushed it back by a whole entire year. That shit's not coming out until next spring.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. But here's the thing. It's not so much that the movie was bad. Actually, it tested very well. But Fox executives felt like it wasn't scary enough. Because what Fox, if you notice, what they've been trying to do with their Marvel properties is reinvent the wheel and come out with basically new trendsetters for these subgenres. So like Deadpool, when that came out a couple of years ago, that broke new ground because it was like the first R-rated superhero movie to be that successful because it took a different approach to the superhero genre.
Yes.
It was very self-aware, very comedic, and you know, it was essentially an action comedy. And a year later you had Logan. Logan, totally different from what you're accustomed to with a superhero movie, let alone an X-Men movie, where it's very existential. It's sort of like neo-noir, neo-western. That sort of thing. It reinvented and breathed fresh new life into the superhero genre. And that's what they're trying to do with New Mutants. New Mutants, they're trying to make it an all-out, balls-out horror movie. That's what they're going with it.
Oh,
I don't know how I feel about that.
I love it because I'm a fucking horror buff. I love getting frightened. I love that shit. So
listen, don't get me wrong. I love horror. I just don't know. I don't know how they're. I don't know much about the New Mutants. I don't know much about the story. But to make it a horror, like make it all out horror. Listen, I'm not against it. I just don't know how the execution may come off. Well, then you know, as far as testing well and seeing how the audience reacts to that. So
yeah, I mean, but that's one of the things that I'm very curious about, actually, like how they're gonna make it work, because it obviously takes place within the X-Men universe. It's just way different, you know what I mean? Like, this is New Mutants is supposed to be like the new generation of X-Men, after the current generation of X-Men that we know. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So listen, yeah. Man, so Fox, man, they're really trying to get it all in, man. They're all in with trying to reinvent the wheel with the superhero genre, and that's good, man.
Hey, man, I don't blame them, man. Get those movies in, you know. Try to make some money. Try to make some money off of this. So that's what the studio's main objective is. Is they don't really care about the product and itself. They know that if they have the content, they can grab the audience and the base audience and still make money from it and be successful. So why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see, man. I mean, because once the MCU. Well, once all those Fox properties get involved into the MCU, it's like, you know, that's all Disney right there. They pretty much have the most say in that regard.
Yep.
So you'll eventually see in Phase 4, like, you know, Fantastic Four being rebooted and finally Doctor Doom done the right way and, you know, shit like that.
Yep, for sure. For sure.
Now, the elephant in the room. Speaking of MCU, we are a few days away from Infinity War, my friend.
Yes, sir.
It premiered last night in LA, and it premiered to some very positive early reactions. I am trying my best to stay off of social media. I tried my absolute best to avoid spoilers. I was literally one click away from reading a review on Collider.com today. And I said, you know what? No, 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 no. I don't want to know anything. I don't want anybody's full-length opinion, because that's just – even if it is spoiler-free, it's still going to be kind of spoilerish.
Absolutely.
Because the headline for the review was Marvel gives us everything and nothing. So I was like, nah, oh, shit. I'm not clicking that.
Yeah, don't click that, man. That's good. Nah, don't click that. I looked on Rotten Tomatoes just at some fans' reactions, and 99% of them like it, want to see it.
That too.
Nothing terrible. I got my tickets for Thursday night, 11:40 p.m. in New Rochelle.
Bro, are you going to work the next day?
I am going to work, but I don't have to be there till like 4, so I'm good.
Okay, you're good, because I was about to say, bro, I would just call out. You're not going.
Listen, I was
going to
make this whole event. I was going to take the weekend, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I was going to make this a whole religious experience, but I decided, listen, I'm going to catch the 11:40. I'm going to take a nap when I get home from work, because I get home from work really late, and then wake up. I'm going to wake up and then head to the movies, and I should be rejuvenated. I should be good. I'm excited. I think I'm very excited. What are you seeing it?
Oh, I'm seeing it on Saturday. Saturday, 4:30 showing.
Okay. 4:30 Saturday. Okay. So I have to tell you, I'm not going to give you any spoilers. But
no, don't even fucking text me. You know what? I'll text you after I see it Saturday night.
All right.
You know what? Next week we got to do an Avengers review episode.
Yeah.
And
For
then
sure.
that way, yeah, because you know what? I'm talking a lot of trash right now because I probably will hit you up and be like, "Damn, how was it?"
Yeah, right. Listen, man, I promise I won't give any. I won't give you anything. I won't say any details. No details.
Oh no, yeah, of course not. You know, just the general reactions, because that's what I was reading. Just the general reactions from people on Twitter. And Kevin Smith loved it. He said that his legs were still shaking after watching it.
Really?
Yeah, and a couple of these reactions actually, they said that you'll be blown away by the ending. The ending apparently is amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, who the fuck knows? I mean, I read one or two reactions that were like, it's like nonstop action to the point where it could be exhausting depending on the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you expect?
Listen, yeah, man.
I'm not fucking talking. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's way too many characters for that kind of shit.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not. I don't want, okay, yes, I want witty banter and fine, whatever. But I don't want character development. I know all these characters already.
That's so true.
The only character development that I want is Thanos. That's it.
Yes.
Because he's the villain. I don't need any more depth and exploration with the Guardians of the Galaxy or Spider-Man or Iron Man or Hulk or Black Widow. No, we know these characters already. I want to see them get to business. I just want to see character development with Thanos and Gamora Nebula, since those are his daughters.
Yep.
And I guess Drax, because Drax has a vendetta against Thanos, because Thanos killed his family.
That's what, and you're right. That's all you need to see, because we already know everything else about everybody else. So,
yes,
you need to see the development of Thanos.
Yes, just give me a roller coaster ride of epic action. That's it.
Yes.
That's what I want to see. Like, this is a comic book come to life. That's what I want to see. You know what's funny, though? The Russo brothers actually said that, you know how these TV spots in the trailer would have you believe that most of the film takes place in Wakanda because of all the action scenes? They said that that's only half of the film. They said that the other half of the film does. Like, that's only a microcosm of like what you can expect with the movie. Like, a lot of these reactions kind of confirmed that too. They were like, Infinity War is this movie where, like, it's everything you would expect, and it also subverts your expectations because there are some things that you don't expect.
Okay.
That are happening. But you know what? I'm just gonna throw it out there. Yes, this is part one of part two, essentially. So you're not going to get full closure. And I'm sure that a lot of people are going to leave the theater like, well, not a lot of people, but some people are going to leave the theater a little disappointed because there's no closure. They have to keep in mind that there is the final part next year. So we have to wait a whole year for that. But I'm predicting, this is a wild prediction, that Silver Surfer will make an appearance.
Wow.
Yes. You're dealing with galactic shit, and Silver Surfer did play a big role in the original Infinity Gauntlet comic book. I'm just throwing it out there. I think there's going to be some crazy unexpected shit that nobody expected. And the reactions are saying that it's a fucking crazy ending. So, I don't know. I don't know. You could possibly see Silver Surfer.
I'm not mad at that, and you make sense. If you're gonna do anything galactic, and this is the last of this 2-part series, right? I mean,
yeah, because Phase 3 ends after next year. Like, next year with that Avengers movie, that's it. They're moving on to Phase 4. Phase 4 is gonna be a whole slew of new characters, with the exception of Doctor Strange, Black Panther, and guys like that, because you're obviously they're going to get their sequels, but you're not going to see Captain America come back or Thor or you know.
Yeah, Silver Surfer, man, wow, that's a big prediction.
I mean, do you have any predictions? Because these reactions seem like this is like a really monumental thing.
The only prediction I can think of is obviously one of our major characters will be dying.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's not gonna surprise me. That's not gonna surprise me either.
Predictions? If I had to predict anything, I don't have one. I mean, until you said the whole Silver Surfer thing, I was thinking to myself, wow, that might be a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, and that possibility is not that far fetched.
No, it's not. So yeah,
I mean, you okay? If you have Silver Surfer, you got to include Galactus. Yes, I'm aware of that, but who knows? I mean, there's got to be a reason why they've kept everything under wraps in secrecy for so damn long, even with the marketing for the past 4 weeks with the TV spots and the final trailer and stuff. They haven't really revealed all that much if you think about it.
No, they haven't.
You see bits and pieces of action sequences and shit, but what did they really reveal in terms of plot? Not a whole lot.
Nope. And I get it and I like it because if we got more of it, it's giving away too much of the movie and we don't want to see that. As fans, we want to walk in completely surprised, unaware of what's going to happen, and we want the film to take us. So I don't want to know nothing. I don't want to know nothing. Nothing.
I don't want to know a damn thing. Like, yeah. I'm staying off of social media for the next couple of days. Because I guarantee you, I'm going to see something that pisses me off, and I'm going to,
yeah.
You know? Like, I probably won't even post this damn episode until next week. I'm exaggerating in that regard, but... Yeah, I don't feel like checking my Instagram until Saturday. I don't feel like checking my Facebook. I don't feel like, but you know what? Some of these things are so inevitable because when I hit my Google search bar, something is going to come up.
Right.
You know, like a headline of, oh, did that just happen? Did that person just appear?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I can only imagine what that post-credit scene is going to be like.
It's got to be epic. It's got to be epic. It's got to be epic. I don't know. I'm so excited, man. I can't even tell you.
I know. And a coworker of mine, shout out to Kara Burgers. She got her tickets for Thursday as well. So she's going to – I'm gonna get her reaction firsthand Friday morning when I'm going to work. I'll be like, oh, how is it? How is it? I know she's going to freak out.
Listen, man, make sure she don't spoil anything, man.
Oh, nah. She ain't going to spoil nothing. I would hope not.
Yeah, make sure she doesn't say anything that would give anything away, man. Make sure of that.
Yeah, for real, man. Anyway, and thank you so much for coming on to this episode.
Absolutely, man.
Always a pleasure.
Another one in the books.
Another one in the books. All you listeners, continue following me on Instagram at AYNE Podcast. I got to make a Facebook page one of these days.
Oh, yeah, man. Page. Absolutely.
Definitely. But, yeah, the next time we record an episode, we will have seen Avengers Infinity War after all that anticipation.
Yes, after all this, we'll either be trashing it or praising it for the movie that it was, man.
Yeah. I highly doubt is the former. I highly doubt we'll be trashing it, but
yes,
a lot to say, for sure.
A lot to say. That's going to be a big episode.
Yeah, that is a big episode. Man, we might have to get D on that one, but I don't think D is going to watch it this weekend. I got to link up with him and ask him.
Yeah. Listen, man, let me know. I'm here. I can't wait. I just hope that I'm not disappointed. That's all. I just hope I'm not disappointed.
Yeah. I hope I'm not disappointed either. I don't think we will be. And to all you Marvel fans out there, I hope you got your tickets already because you are going to have a hard time trying to get in any movie theater. I don't care where you are in the country. Like, if you don't get those tickets on time, or if you haven't already, good luck.
Yeah, it's tough. I thought I almost lost out on the 11:40 tickets, but
holy cow!
But I luckily got them.
Yeah, man. And so for all you WWE fans, catch the greatest Royal Rumble event emanating from Jeddah. Is it Jeddah? Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. That airs on WWE Network. If you're like me, who'll be at work, that it's going to air Friday afternoon at around 12 noon, I believe.
Yep, 12 noon.
Yeah. But it's since it's on the network, you can always catch the replay, which I plan on doing. So I probably won't be reading any spoilers or anything like that and try to catch it Friday night. So nice weekend for us wrestling and comic book nerds.
Yeah, man. It's a great weekend to nerd out. You know, something we needed for a long time, and now we're getting it, man. It's going to be a culmination of all these movies in one. It's going to be beautiful.
Yes, beautiful indeed.
Yes.
Well, with that said, my friend, you take care, and we'll link up for the next episode, hopefully sometime next week.
Lewis, until next time, my friend.
Peace.
Later.